Anybody glad to be in church? Thank you, Lord. I may say God's been good to me. We're missing some people today, so you look around, see somebody missing, just be praying for them. I know that we've got some that are out of town and some that are just going through some things, but we're praying and we're believing God. God's got everything under control, and I'm believing that the Lord is. We're going to have a time when everybody's here at the same time. Amen. So we're going to have a time in the Lord. But let's see what it says here in Genesis chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. He said, Take now your son, that only son Isaac, whom you love, and get thee to the land of Moriah. Offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you. Father, this morning we just come to you, Lord, and we just thank you for, Lord, bringing everybody together for, Lord, Father's Day. And, Father, I can't believe a better place to be than in your house on Father's Day. Lord, we come to worship you and magnify you, Lord, for everything that you've done for us, giving us the opportunity, Lord, to know you and to, Lord, to know, Lord, everything that you have for us and to receive those things. Lord, I feel faith in the place this morning, Lord. We come to receive. We're expecting, Lord, you to do something before we leave this place. We're going to give you praise for it already, Lord. Relevant revelation in your word. We'll claim it together in Jesus' name. After these things, God did tempt Abraham. Now, that test, this is a test. This was not to produce faith, but to reveal faith. And God speaks to Abraham, and Abraham says, Here I am. Isn't that a wonderful example how we should respond to God? How many has ever felt God dealing with you about something, and you kind of just, you know, put it off? Anybody know what I mean? God, maybe that's the way that you felt when you first came to the Lord. You felt God dealing with you about giving your life to him and giving him the opportunity to do great things for you. And yet, at the time, you were maybe a little hesitant. You know, how many times did God deal with you about, you know, maybe speaking to someone else about God, and we're a little hesitant? Maybe come into the house of the Lord, and we feel like maybe we should, you know, give to the Lord, and maybe a tithe and an offering, and a little hesitant. Well, he's telling us here, church, just how that, you know, we should respond when God begins to deal with that. I don't know about anybody else. I don't want to linger. I want what God has for me, and I want it now. Anybody else? Come on, somebody. I know what God's able to do. And so what he's saying here, church, is that he was ready to know. When he said, Here I am, he's ready to know. I'm ready to know what God wants. I'm ready to know what God has. Come on, somebody. I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to be taught. I'm ready to obey. I'm ready to do what God wants me to do. Abraham had come into a relationship with God, and he had found something in that relationship with God that made him, whatever you speak to me, I want to hear it. I want to get in this. I want to do this. And he says, and then he speaks something really wild to him. He said, I want you to take your only son. Now, we know he had another son, Ishmael. But as far as God was concerned with the covenant, Abraham had only one son, which was Isaac. He said, I want you to take the son whom you love. You know, this is the first time in the Bible that the word love was mentioned. Boy, it would be in a time like this, wouldn't it? He said, just think about that. First time in the context of love in the Bible is between a father and a son. God and Abraham and Isaac. Just think about that. Offer him for a burnt offering. This is not an offering that had to be burned alive. This was something he expected him to sacrifice and then lay on the altar and give that to God. Boy, can imagine Abraham's thinking, you know, this went against everything that he knew God to be. So it's one of those things that, you know, that God wants him to do that doesn't make any sense. How do you react when we're going through things that don't make sense? Anybody know what I mean? How many's ever been there? Boy, I don't understand this. I've been praying. I've been believing God, and I'm trusting God, and this does not look like God. This does not look like what God, I've been praying for, what I've been believing for. Well, Abraham had to learn the difference between trusting the promise and trusting the promiser. Come on, somebody. My faith and my trust got to be in him. Isn't that right? He said, I want you to go to one of the mountains that I tell you. You know, just giving him just a little bit of information. I just want you to go. As you go, I'll tell you, I'll lead you in the direction I want you to. Isn't that the way God is sometimes with faith? I just want you to step out. I just want you to believe. Just trust me. You might not see where you're going. You might not see how it's going to end up. Just trust God. Can we do that? Anybody? No sign of hesitation, though. The Bible said he rose up early in the morning. No sign of hesitation. Even when he couldn't understand, he goes out, saddles up his donkey, took the wood for the offering, got a couple of his young men together, and went to the place, the land of Moriah, that God told him. That's that land of Moriah. That was that place that David would eventually buy the threshing floor to build an altar and stop the plague. That was that spot where Solomon would build the temple. It was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar and his army, but yet rebuilt 70 years later, only to be destroyed again 70 years after the death of Christ. However, the book of Daniel tells us, church, that a third temple will be built when the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled. So there's even more to come. But I'm just thinking about that land that he sent him to. And it was all dedicated, church, on that somebody just being obedient to the promises of God. Bible says here, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. So just think about that. He's got his men, he's got his son, and he's got a promise from God. And it's 3 days, and I could only imagine what it must have been like in those 3 days. How many times did he probably think about turning back? How many times did he, question, did I really hear from God? Is this really what God wants me to do? Anybody ever been there? You know, you haven't seen it fulfilled yet, but you believe in God. You know you received a promise from God. And then it gets to a point, is this really what God wants for me? Is this really what he has for me? Boy, think about this. First of all, he hears God's word. Second of all, he sees the place, yet it's still afar off. You know, we hear God's word, and how many know that the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God? So when we hear the word of God, it produces faith. And then all of a sudden, church, we may begin to see those things that God has for us, yet they're far off. How many know what I'm talking about? When you hear the word of God, and you get into the word of God, all of a sudden you begin to see that God, not only wanted to save you, but he's able to heal you. He's able to set you free. He's able to bless you. He's able to change your family, change your home. Yet how many times, church, you pray for those things, but yet they look a little ways off. Not quite there yet. How many's not quite there yet this morning? How many's got some things you're believing for? Got some loved ones who won't get saved. Got a blessing, not a healing. Pastor, I haven't got it yet. It looks like it's a ways off, but I still believe God. Isn't that what he wants, church? Our continuing on. He comes to the point that it's a ways off yet. He says, we're going to go and we're going to worship God. That's the first time that the word worship is mentioned in the Bible. And it comes in a place like this. Tells his young men, he said, I and the lad will go yonder to worship, and we will come again. Boy, that's faith, isn't it? He just knows what God's able to do. He knows that even when God speaks something like this to him, that's not the end of it. Come on, somebody help me. You know, when God makes a promise, church, and you haven't seen it fulfilled yet, hang on, because it's not over. God's not done yet. God's still God. How many know that this morning? How many still believe the thing that you're believing for is still going to come to pass? Oh, I got something I got there. Abraham took the wood. The Bible said, listen to this in verse 6. Abraham took the wood and laid it upon his son Isaac. Isaac received the wood for his own sacrifice and carried it up the hill. Does that sound familiar? Because that's what happened to Jesus. He received something from his father, a commission, and a calling from his father. I want you to go, and I'm going to send the best that I got. He goes, church, and takes the cross upon him. Walks up that Calvary's hill with that cross for you and I, church. Isaac goes and he said, Father, he said, I see the wood and I see the fire.
And he said, but where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham looked at him and said, God will provide himself a lamb. I mean, realize, church, he's already done that with Jesus. Already provided. And then it comes in verse 9, the moment. Abraham builds the altar and he lays the wood in order. And he bound his son Isaac. Now, he didn't do that because he was afraid Isaac was going to escape. Abraham was over 100 years old by now. Isaac was about 25, anywhere between 25 and 30. Isaac willingly laid down his life. Think about that. Isn't that what Jesus did? Willingly laid down. Isaac willingly goes along. If this is what God wants, even though it doesn't make it. But he was bound as a sacrifice. Abraham goes in verse 10, stretches forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son, the Bible said. Boy, this is faith at works being demonstrated. Sometimes you got to demonstrate your faith. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Did you hear that? Abraham's believing that even if he goes through with what God wants him to do, that God is able to raise him from the dead. You know, at that time, nobody had ever been raised from the dead. Somebody listen to me. Yet he's got faith. Come on, somebody. This is what we were talking about here not long ago. Pioneer faith. Believing God that for something we'd never seen before. Come on, somebody. I'm looking at this. There's a lot of firsts going on here. First time love was mentioned. First time worship was mentioned. First time somebody's believing that even if I go and do what God, that he's able to raise him from the dead. Boy, anybody got that kind of faith this morning, even when something looks like it's dead? Oh, look what it says here in Romans chapter 4. I was reading this, talking about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed unto him as righteousness. Boy, I'm telling you what, church, anybody getting this with me? So I'm reading this, church, and I'm beginning to understand here. Here's faith that he had way back when. God promised them that they were going to have a child when he was about almost 100 and his wife was 90. And yet God speaks to them and said, you're going to have a child. So the Bible said that he staggered not at the promise, even though at the deadness of her womb. So I believe, church, that this is something that he's got faith that how God is able to restore life. Come on, somebody, help me. He's seen it happen. I've seen what he's done when he took that dead womb of that 90-year-old woman and still caused her to be able to produce a child. Anybody believe anything's too hard for God? Nothing. Come on, somebody. We got to get faith in this place. I believe God's trying to get us to the point that we have that kind of faith. And when we do, look what it's promised us here. Look at Hebrews 19. He said, accounting that God was able to raise him from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. This is talking about the prefigure of Christ. Oh, listen to what Jesus said over in John chapter 8, verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So he's talking about here, church, how that Abraham had faith that one day God was going to do the same thing. That God was going to send his son. Can we get this? And that God was going to send his son for our sins. That he was going to come and die, and God was going to raise him again from the dead. And you know something, church? I love what it says over here in Romans 4. And it talks about when he staggered not at the promises. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, but for also us, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So you know what it's telling me here, church, is that you and I have the promise of the same kind of blessings that Abraham did. All we have to do is believe that God raised up Jesus Christ, his son, from the dead. Anybody listening to me this morning? How many believe that Jesus came and died for your sins and God raised him from the dead? This is why, church, that we have the promise. And this is why, as we look at the promises of God and the Word of God, you and I can lay hold to every promise in this book. All we need is faith. It goes back to Genesis 22 when he's going on here. And he draws back that knife. Genesis 22, verse 11, draws back the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven. And begin to speak. Listen to what he said here to him in verse 12. He said, "Lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do anything to him." He said, "I know now that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from him." Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen, the Lord my provider." And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. And he said, "By myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because you have done this thing and not withheld your only son, that in blessings I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Anybody listening to this? Let me just say this real quick. When Abraham laid Isaac on the altar and drew back the knife to slay him, he was not doing that to him. He was doing that for him. "Oh, I got a blessing for your son." Anybody listening? "And because you were willing to do this, I got a blessing for your son and for his son and for every descendant upon..." Are you getting this with me? Come on, somebody, on Father's Day. I start thinking about the fathers. How many times have your children felt that you were doing things to them when you were really doing things for them? Oh, anybody know what I mean? "Oh, Dad never let me have any fun. Dad was always watching me. I couldn't get away." You know, I think about it. My sons seem to remember every time that I corrected them. For some reason, they remember every time that they swear that I spanked them. Well, Pastor, if they remember every time, it must not have been that many times then. Not to hear them talk. It seemed like to them it was every day. But what's the Bible say? You know, rebellion is born in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction drives it far from them. Oh, remember the time, Dad. How many times have I heard this? Remember the time that we were in the restaurant and we would be getting a little loud and Dad would put his finger in our leg and just... Then they'd scream louder than they were. "Mom, you broke my leg. You broke my leg." But do they remember the times that I forgave them? Do they remember the times that I continued to love them? How many times, church, do we feel God is doing things or allowing things to happen to us when really he's doing things for us? Anybody listening? How many times God's kept you from harm? How many times God kept you from mistake when you really didn't want him to? You were trying to have your way. You were trying to do your thing. And yet God was still there for you. For you. Somebody know what I mean? This is the way what's going on here with Abraham and Isaac. I'm not doing this to Isaac. I'm doing this for him because there's a blessing. God has promised to bless my son. You know, church, we got to get to the place that we see things by faith. You know, it's one thing to believe God's promise. It's another thing to continue to believe until it's fulfilled. Come on, somebody agree with me. I'm thinking about this. When God asked Abraham for the ultimate demonstration of love, he asked him for his son. But when God wanted to show us the ultimate demonstration of his love for us, he gave his only son. Now I know that you love me, seeing that you have not withheld your only son from me. Anybody ever come to that place? That's what God spoke to Abraham. Now I know that you fear me because you haven't withheld your only son from me. That's what God's wanting you and I to understand this morning, church. We can stand there and we can recognize the same thing. Father, now I know how much that you love me, seeing that you have not withheld your only son from me, but you sent him to die on an old rugged, cruel cross for me. The things you do for your children. Somebody listening to me. I might know what I mean. Anybody ever get to that point that you do things for your children? There have been times, church, that I've gone and they were thirsty and I opened up the refrigerator and there was only one Pepsi left. And I sacrificed. You know why? Because I had faith that God was going to give me more. Come on, somebody. Anybody got faith like that this morning? This is what God's trying to get us to. He's trying to let us in on something this morning. If we have this kind of faith that we're willing to lay everything down to him and begin to trust him with everything that I have, he said, I got a blessing for you that you're not going to have room enough to receive it. Some today may feel, church, that they haven't been as faithful as Abraham. Fathers, we get to that place sometimes, don't we? We get to the point that, well, Pastor, Abraham, he was willing to do it. I'm afraid that I haven't been as faithful as Abraham. Nobody's ever been to the point that, fathers, that you felt like you failed your children. Am I talking to anybody? Boy, Pastor, I couldn't make it up that mountain. I couldn't go the 3 days. I couldn't sacrifice my time or my wants or my work. I feel this morning I'm sitting here and I thought so much about me in my life, in my past, that I've failed my children. Am I talking to any fathers this morning? You get to the point But you know what, church, and I think we all feel that way at times. Myself, there are times, church, that I feel like, you know, my sons. But I remember when I first found out that we were going to have a son, and we were expecting a daughter. We were all prepared for one girl, and I was going to spoil her. We go into the hospital and to the, you know, where they give you the ultrasound, and they said, what are we having? I said, oh, we're having a girl. She started working on my wife, and she said, uh-oh. She said, I see something. It's not a girl. I said, how sure is this thing? 99.5%. I went home, and I started praying. I found out, I was disturbed by it because I had it all figured out. Anybody know what I mean? God, you're doing something that doesn't make sense. We had it all figured. Me and the wife, we agreed on that. You said we're two or three agree accepting anything. I had a feeling that we were going to have that one daughter and she was going to grow up and look like Cindy Crawford. Saw it, I could see it.
Oh, hold on, Chrissy. We're going to be rich. We're going to have a son. Boy. Finally, I just went in. I couldn't get no peace on it. And I said, Lord, I don't know how to be a father to a son. And God spoke to me, and he said, no, but I do. Amen. You know how many times over the years I have reminded God of that? The neighbor comes and says, that little one, the little curly-haired guy just threw a rock through my window. 300 and some God. 300 and some dollars. No, but I do. Start thinking about a church and times that, you know, you go through things and you look at your life and as a father, you... God, if there have been times that I could have done better. And you could begin to feel that way. Many times, man, you look at yourself and you realize maybe I've been a little, maybe this has been more about me. Maybe I've been a little selfish at times. And I was over here as I was praying the other day, and God reminded me of something he shared with me a few years ago. God reminded me of 2 Samuel chapter 12 when David was at the rock bottom. He had gone and he had committed adultery with a woman named Bathsheba, and she was going to now have his child. So he goes and he has to do something about that. He sends her husband, Uriah, into the hottest part of the battle to be killed, so that then he can take Bathsheba for his wife, and that's my baby. All of a sudden, a man named Nathan comes to him, prophet of God, begins to tell him, God has seen what you have done, what you've tried to hide, how that you have failed God in such a way that it's caused God's enemies to blaspheme him. And he said, you're going to survive, but your child is going to die. And David goes and he begins to fast and pray for that child. Come on, somebody help me. God, if there's any way that you can spare that little baby, it's not him. It was. The Bible said that the child dies. And David makes a statement. He said, I can't bring him back, but I can go on to him. He knew he would see him again. And it stuck with me, church, because God began to speak to me. There are many times, church, that we cannot go back, you know, and redo some of the things, but we can go on. Somebody help me. So you know what God was speaking to me, church? No matter what you're feeling this morning, no matter how that you feel, maybe it's something between you and your dad, or maybe it's something between you and your child, and you've gotten to a point in your life where, Pastor, I just feel like I have... You know what? God's trying to tell you something this morning, that it's not too late to be the man that God has called you to be. Somebody help me. Even when we get to the point, church, that I could have been a better father, I could have been a better example, I could have been a better husband, I could have done things a whole... Do you know something this morning? He's trying to show you, church, the same thing that David was speaking. I can't go back, but I can go on. And God's wanting to do something in your life this morning. It is not too late for you to be the man that God has called you to be. It's not too late this morning, church, to be the child of God that he has called us to be. To be like Isaac, to willingly surrender everything to God. Oh, anybody here this morning listening to this? On a Father's Day, is this okay? Because this is all I got. God's trying to do something for somebody. I'm trying to take an example. I'm trying to take something from the Word. I'm trying to encourage something, somebody this morning, that even when you get to the point, Pastor, I look at the way things have been, but hold on, because it's not too late. God is still able to do something with you. God is still able to make you the man that God wanted you to be. God's still able to taint your life and make you the woman, make you the mother, make you the child that He has called you to be. All He's looking for this morning is those that will come to Him and say, Lord, I've done things my way and I failed, but I got faith in you this morning like Abraham had, that if I go, Lord, and begin to follow after you and do the things that you have called me to do, that you're still able to change my life. Not too late to be the man that God has called me to be. I look at it that way myself, church, at times. You know, it's not too late for me to be the man. There are times that I look at myself and I'm still feeling like I'm failing God. And you could sit there and you could wallow in it and have a pity party and feel sorry for yourself, or you can get up like David did and wash your face and say, you know what? It's not too late for me to be the man that God has called me to be. Come on, somebody. That's the kind of God I serve this morning. Not too late for God, for me to willingly give God my life and say, Lord, it doesn't matter how old I am. It doesn't matter how long I've been in this condition, how long I've felt this way. But I know, God, what you're able to do, and it's not too late for me. That's the way Abraham felt. That's the kind of faith that he had. Even if I go through with this, Lord, I know, even though I've never seen anybody raised from the dead, I still believe that you are God and you've still got something for my son. Amen. Come on, somebody. You got a plan for my son. I got a son of my own that I've laid on the altar. And you know something, church, no matter what, I still believe that God still has a plan for his life. Today's his birthday, Father's Day. I still believe that God has a plan for his life. Bow your heads with me real quick. Stand your feet with me if you can all over the building. On Father's Day, I know sometimes how we come to a point. We got to understand, wait a minute, what the things that are going on in my life right now, that's God working things out for me. Maybe God brought you to this church this morning just to hear this word, because he's working things out for you. If God be for me, who can be against me? Come on, somebody say that with me. If God be for me, who could be against me? You may have to remind the enemy of that this morning. But you're sitting here today and you realize, you know what, Pastor, you're right. I can sit here and I can feel sorry for myself on Father's Day, or I can get a word of encouragement and get up and go on. I can't go back, but I can go on. It's not too late for me this morning. I'm talking to men this morning. I'm talking to fathers this morning. I'm talking to sons this morning. I got sons right now that have sons of their own. And I'm still trying. And I'm still failing. But I still got faith this morning that it's not too late for me to be the man that God has called me to be. I'm going to pray for the fathers in this place. I'm going to pray for the men real quick. You're a father in this place this morning. You get out of your seat and come on down front here with me. You're going to be able to pick up one of these bags in a minute.